Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. I am your host, Colwyn J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. If this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We're legacy building. That is what we do. So if you're out there making things happen with your family for the generations yet to come, you know, our word teaches us to leave a legacy, to leave an inheritance for our children, our children's children, and so forth and so on. We want you to put a hashtag on that thing that says that you are legacy building, because that is what you are doing. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Anchor FM. You can also find us on Instagram at our website, ExitStrategiesRadioShow.com. You can catch us in a number of different places on your favorite podcast applications. We appreciate you listening. Please share this content with your friends, your family, your coworkers, even those in your groups, your church groups, etc., guys. Because sometimes the message and the word that we are speaking here today is for you. Sometimes it is for someone else that you know. Again, we appreciate you listening. Let's get started. Good morning, good morning, and good morning.
Good morning.
Fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host. That is me, Colwyn J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. So guys, look, we have another fabulous show episode set up for you today. Look, we have went and got one of the greats, all right? Look, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've met a lot of people in my years who have been quote unquote in service in this industry. And from the mortgage side, guys, it is always important that you have someone who understands not only what it is you're trying to get accomplished, but also understands how and knows how to serve and help you. So guys, we are super duper excited to have with us today none other than Debbie Berry. Yes, Debbie Berry.
Hey.
Point Bank. Debbie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Great.
So look, we were talking a little bit, quote unquote, in studio before coming on air today about, you know, kind of what you're seeing, you know, overall with activity. And you say you kind of seeing what I would probably frame as a little bit of a shift, a change with some buyers, things that they're experiencing in this market. But if you don't mind, for our listeners, first and foremost, could you introduce yourself and kind of give our listeners an idea of who Debbie Berry is?
My name is Debbie Berry. I work for North Point Bank here in North Charleston, South Carolina. I've been in the mortgage industry for about 22 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I did mainly origination. There was a few years I did management of a mortgage department at a local credit union. My primary focus is with first-time home buyers. So we are finding the slowness in the market, obviously, with the higher prices and the higher rates right now. I mean, homeownership is attainable still, but it's just a little more difficult right now.
What are you guys doing? What are you doing to help buyers in this particular season?
Mainly, we're trying to create some different programs. The one biggest program that we just rolled out is the 2-1 temporary buy-down program. So it allows for, they have to qualify at the higher rate that the payment will actually be in the third year of the mortgage. But for the first 2 years, you can go 2 percentage points down the first 12 months. And then the second 12 months, it's going to be 1 percentage point less than what the note rate was. And then from the third year on through the 30th year, it's going to be that fixed rate that you signed up at 2 years ago. So hopefully, like if the rates do go up over the next 2 years, you've still been able to take advantage of that lower rate 2 years back when you convert in that third year. Awesome. So that's one of the programs. We're also working on a new program that hopefully will roll out, I think, by the end of July. It's called Lock While You Shop. So you get to lock in your interest rate while you're out there shopping, since you know it's a difficult market. And there's so many multi-offers houses, buyers are out there. So
tell our listeners, how long have you been in the mortgage industry?
22 years this November.
Wow. Okay.
So November 1st, on my birthday.
You've seen interest rates higher than what they are now.
Yeah. I mean, even when I bought my first house, I think it was in 2002 or something, the rates were around like the 7%, 8% range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you've seen a couple of, quote unquote, you know, a little bit of that. So, you know, rates were higher,
they went down, they went back up, they went back down, and now they're back up again. During those time periods, what advice did you have, or do you have, because, I mean, to be very direct about it, this is all somewhat of a repeat. What advice do you have for consumers during this time period? Because so many people are just hung up on what rates have done, not realizing that this is really, the rates are still very good.
Yeah, they're still relatively low when you look at comparing it back in the 80s when they were like in double digits in the 18% range to buy a house. The only difference with this market versus the market back in like the 2000s is that the house prices are so much higher. And I feel like the, especially in the Charleston area, I can't speak for other areas in the United States, but the income hasn't kind of went along with the increase in like prices of houses. So that's where we're finding the difficulty. I don't think it's necessarily the rates. I think it's more with income versus the prices of these houses out there that it's hard to qualify the first time home buyers.
Well, I'll share this kind of, and definitely please pick up, but you know, I'm starting to see like as inventory is changing. So we're getting, you know, more, some people that were quote unquote, my personal belief is that people have been just trying to time the market. That's something that we always see people, you know, okay, I want to get the most for my house. Great. That's what you want to do, but you want to move. So right. Now when you see the rates have went up and the cost to buy the next house is going to cost you substantially more, then now there's kind of this, okay, let me get my home on the market and get it sold. So we're starting to see, you know, some other homes come onto market at price points, you know, because the market is kind of shifted around a little bit. We're starting to see a little bit of activity, a little bit lower, you know, price point. You know, entry level is now kind of, in my opinion, kind of moved to the upper 200 price range where, you know, a little while ago, you really wasn't buying anything for less than 300. I think gives some people a little bit of hope. But not to cut you off, what were you going to add a moment ago?
I can't remember, but I will mention one thing. A contract I got 2 days ago, it actually had seller concession on there, which was nice to see again, because, I mean, it's so difficult for, you know, borrowers, first-time home buyers to come up with a down payment. In addition to all the closing costs, it makes it hard for a person to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to see.
Awesome. So, awesome. I most certainly could agree with that as well. You know, starting to see a little bit of concession as well, you know, because, again, we've kind of gotten away from that time period where everything was just kind of rampant and, you know, no concessions and unreasonable requests or asks. I actually just saw that recently with the property. The owner put in a new HVAC system and they felt their home was worth $20,000 more because they put in a new system. But, it, you know, that's a maintenance item, not a, you know, not an improvement to the property. So, you know, those kind of things, again, make it a little bit more challenging because people are sometimes, you know, they're stuck on what, you know, was happening, you know, several months ago and now don't understand that we're in a different time, if that makes sense. The market is always shifting and changing.
Yes.
So people are not understanding that. So what else are you counseling prospective home buyers on? Again, you're someone that, you know, I look up to in the industry because you have taken, you know, what I deem to be a hands-on approach. You're in the community, you know, serving first-time home buyers. You've been doing that for a while. You work with agents doing home buyer education, all those things. So right. What are you counseling and telling prospective buyers now that they need to be mindful of?
I mean, the main thing is just having saved assets. A lot of people are still coming to the, you know, the application process and they have no safe funds. You just, in this particular time era, we can't buy a house with no money in the bank. You know, one, because the seller's not paying anything. And then two, just you really need money. Some of the programs require you have reserves in your bank account or a 401k, especially if you have a lower credit score, that's going to be a requirement. So saved assets are the most important thing. Monitoring your credit score, not just coming to the table and applying and not knowing where you are, you know, credit wise. I think it's important to kind of know what your credit history is and know if you need some improvement before applying. And then the other thing I think is important is people kind of educating themselves. You know, maybe there's home buyer education on the internet that you can look at and just know kind of what process you're getting into, because I think it's important to have some knowledge before you buy a house. So those are my main suggestions. One thing I read the other day, my son shared an article with me about in Europe, they're actually trying to roll out a 50-year mortgage term. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think in this market in the United States with the high prices and the higher rates, I think it's important that somehow we get legislators to actually look at either a 40-year term or a 50-year term, because the first-time homebuyers are just, it's going to be so difficult without extending that term for them to be able to qualify for the houses.
That's interesting. I know some other, like you said, some other countries, you know, do offer longer terms or their financing programs. Some do shorter. Some don't do 30-year mortgages.
Right.
You know, there's, I think Canada is either 20 or something like that. Might be even less than that. I mean, it's not an extended period of time, you know, but I mean, the idea and the concept, and they are actually, or have been in the past, some programs here and there that are longer terms, you know, over 30 years, but that does help ease the payment. So that would be interesting to see. But then, and then obviously that would, you know, provide some opportunity for some much needed relief for buyers that are very stressed and strained in this current climate, in this current market.
Another way, I mean, usually when you're in higher price markets like this or higher rates, a lot of people will want to do an adjustable rate mortgage. But I've not really been seeing a big difference between like a 30-year fix and the adjustable rates, but it's still a choice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, ARMs, you know, adjustable rate mortgages, and they're not the culprit because the mortgage isn't the problem. It's the people in education sometimes are the problem. You know, I remember when I first got into the business, you know, back in early mid part of 2004, I remember adjustable rate mortgages were pretty normal. I mean, seemingly that was, you know, you did 100% financing, you know, and if you didn't qualify for that, you did an ARM. And then, you know, later on, it went to 80-20s and all right. kinds of stuff. But it was always a minimalist approach, which was we want to minimize the monthly spend for the consumer, which is not necessarily the worst thing. But if you're setting, if you're doing an adjustable, I mean, you know, we know that it's going to reset one day and you need to be factoring in being able to afford it when it resets, not necessarily focusing on just being able to make the payment today. And a lot of times people would overextend. They'd go out and buy a house full of furniture, buy brand new cars and all kind of stuff. And it was time to refinance to try to stabilize. They just weren't able to do that.
And the reason a lot of loan officers encourage adjustable rates is just because you can do like a 7-year or a 10-year. So you've got that fixed payment for that long. And typically on average, buyers usually stay in their houses, what, 5 to 7 years? And then they look to sell and buy a new one. So that's why it's a good program for people that are, you know, financially educated.
So that's the piece right there. And that's definitely one of the challenges, you know, utilizing or educating the consumer to understand. And you know, there's rampant rumor mills. You got people that just kind of is all over the place and they're telling people not to do that. I mean, Lord, I've seen so many situations where people are advising or telling someone, well, don't do that. Well, you didn't do it because your situation didn't fit that.
Right.
They may need to do it. And you're advising them or telling them not to. And because you're telling them not to, they're not listening to the professional who's advising them and counseling them on pros and cons so they can make the decision that's right for them or right for their family, you know, if that's the case.
Because everyone's different. Every family's different. Every story's different, for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, what is it that we can do to kind of to combat that? You know, obviously, we on this show, we always advise that, you know, consumers talk to the professional. You know, yeah, your friend, your cousin, your family member, your brother, your sister, they bought a house and their experience was this, but your things may not match up. You may not be buying in the same place. You know, maybe you're in one part of the country, they're in another, you know, traditions in the market are different, whatever that may be. But, you know, we always advise people to talk to their professional so they can get the questions answered and make sure they have an understanding. In this climate, I mean, are you spending more and more time? I'm assuming you are, but I guess the question is, you know, to confirm, are you, you know, spending more and more time, you know, educating buyers on their options and things that they could do, tactics they can employ to help them reach their goal?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when I talk to a customer and they don't really know a whole lot about the different mortgage programs, I'll usually, based on their credit score and, you know, other variables, I'll try to give them like a few options. And then go over those options with them to see what they feel like would better suit their situation and their lifestyle. So that's what I do. I just give them like 2 to 3 loan scenarios.
So you do a lot of first-time home buyer work. Mm-hmm. You know, our show, you know, our listeners are diverse. I mean, we have people here that, you know, that listen that are, you know, ambitious to be a homeowner. So they're first-time homeowners or will be. We have people that own homes and they're looking at, you know, possibly selling. They got family or kids, children or whatever that, you know, they may want to share this information with. But your passion has always been something that I have admired because, you know, you champion those first-time buyers. Now, you do a lot of different programs, obviously, but what program has been kind of like the best overall? Like, what is one of the programs that you do that is has been a marvelous help for the consumers that you serve?
Just South Carolina State Housing Down Payment Assistance. That's the one I use primarily with first-time home buyers. And then I was using Origin because they were given a $1,000 grant or gift, but they stopped the funds about 2.5 months ago. Mm-hmm. So we're very limited right now on who can provide down payment assistance to us, because Origin also had a loan program that they used for down payment assistance, and they did away with that program too about 2.5 months ago. So I don't really know what's going on with their funding, but so we're very limited, and we only have state housing right now because FHLB, which is the Federal Home Loan Bank of Atlanta, they actually ran out of funds, but then they must have been 45 days, and they don't replenish theirs until the following year. So we don't have that program. There is a new one that one of my customers showed me the other day, so we're trying to get information on that, and it's another down payment source to find out if we can sign up for it or not. But I think it's called like Hometown Heroes or something like that. We've never heard of it, so one of my coworkers is looking into it, see if we are able to sign up. Just to give, you know, we try to get as many sources as we can to assist first-time home buyers, but right now it's just so limited.
Okay. Well, that's good also to know that you guys are a Federal Home Loan Bank lender. I don't believe that I was aware of that. So that's also good, because that's definitely a huge help to, you know, some prospective home buyers as well.
Absolutely.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. So let's switch the gears up a little bit here. And obviously, you know, Debbie, I tell people jokingly that if I had a crystal ball, you know, I'd be down at a pack of sack buying lottery tickets, because I know which one's going to hit. So then I'd be on the way to the airport, you know, on a beach somewhere with a Mai Tai shortly thereafter, you know, worry about doing this. But kind of where do you see rates going? What do you think is going to happen? Let me put it that way. What do you think is going to happen? Not only just with rates, what also do you believe or think is going to happen overall with the housing market and how consumers are going to have to adjust?
Again, I think they're going to have to do something with this term. The terms of the loan is the one big thing that I think is going to have to be changed in the mortgage industry to assist first-time home buyers, because I don't see the prices of houses going down at all. I can't see it. And then as far as the rates, I think we're going to kind of stabilize this year. Maybe, I mean, we haven't really I haven't really heard a lot of like reports or like, I try to listen to different webinars on the economy and what they think, but I don't know about next year. I just think we're going to kind of probably stay in that 6%, possibly as high as 7% range for the rates is my projection. But okay. I'm not an economist, so I don't know. But I don't think we're going to see too much more increase this year. Right now, we're probably, most programs are mid fives. Mm-hmm. Some programs you're into the sixes. Usually that's going to be like investment. The ones that are kind of outside the box, like your bank statements or your investor cash flow, those ones you're going to typically see high sevens, low eights. But again, you're going outside of that traditional box. It's a riskier product for that lender, so they have to put, you know, something on the rate.
Okay. I mean, that makes perfect sense. Again, you know, risk is typically reflected in, you know, the rate of return. Right. So the higher the risk, then the higher the rate the investor wants, because they want to kind of hedge their risk, you know, per se. And again, that makes complete sense, a perfect sense. So to get, I guess, in another direction, and you kind of touched on this, you know, we serve, and our listeners, again, are a diverse crowd. They're first-time home buyers. They are, you know, people that are considering selling property. Some are ambitious as investors and, you know, super excited. We're, you know, working on, in the process of pulling together an investor group that will meet. DSR loans, debt service ratio loans, and the investor products that you kind of touched on. Are you doing a lot of those?
No, I'm still trying to put them out there so people are aware that we serve, that we offer those programs. I'm still trying to, I was talking to you briefly about the all-in-one program that kind of matches to the ones that they do in Europe, mm-hmm. where it's kind of, they call it a first lien HELOC position. So you basically have this HELOC and then you tie in a checking account to it. It's a very unique product. It's actually kind of cool. So I'm hoping to get my sister to use it.
Interesting. A HELOC in a first position. That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I'll use the real estate as a realtor as an example, because, you know, there's some months where you may not have that commission check going in. So you start off with this balance. So every time you make a deposit, it reduces that principal balance. But then in addition, because your checking account is tied to it, the payment's made automatically every month and it's an interest only payment. So, but whatever you're depositing is what actually reduces the principal in a much quicker pace.
Mm-hmm.
So, like overall, you should see the difference in like what you paid in interest, because what it does is every evening, whatever you spent out of that account is what the interest is calculated on. So interest is calculated daily. And then at the end of the month, it tallies up those daily totals. And that's how they charge you your interest.
Okay. So obviously, the faster you pay it down, less interest that you pay, all those kind of things. And those time periods where there may be a little bit of a lag or, you know, what have you, then you're not obligated to make a larger payment, just cover the interest.
The interest only. Yep. And if you didn't, you know, have any money that one particular month, they'll just pull it and then pack it on your principal.
That is interesting. So you guys are working on something like that?
I had to get certified in the training. So I'm still kind of like reading up on it, and then hopefully I'll get some person who wants to try it out.
All right.
Become a knowledgeable expert.
There you go. That is awesome. That is impressive. I mean, obviously that works great for that industry, but I mean, I'm assuming that you'll be able to use that with other type professionals as well. And I mean, ideally someone that's commission based, something that will be very attractive to them as well.
Yeah, like realtors, LOs, car salesmen, anyone that's just got a whole lot of money going into a checking account every month. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one for the investors is that investor cash flow.
Uh-huh. So as you pull that information up, that's one of the debt service programs, correct? Where the debt service, the monthly income on the rent.
So yeah, that's a really unique program, especially for individuals who are buying investment properties who don't have like the tax return or the ability to use their tax returns to qualify, mm-hmm. or the bank statement's not something that works with them either. So this, they just take the rental agreement for the house that they're buying, mm-hmm. and I think take a percentage of it. It eliminates a lot of paperwork, and especially, you know, with self-employed borrowers, you know, using the tax returns, and most of them write off their incomes.
Very, very true. I actually was speaking with one of our group here. Matter of fact, a few of our group, because there was a few of them that was in the room and started asking questions as, you know, they're looking to begin investing, how to leverage, you know, these types of programs in order to help them achieve their financial goals. Wholly inclusive, you know, organization. We want to well-round our people. So, you know, we're introducing them to outside of them, you know, helping consumers purchase and sell property. Mm-hmm. We're also introducing and bringing to them doing their own investment portfolio or what have you.
Right.
Because that rounds the agent and their business out. Obviously, you know, our model also, you know, we want to attract more agents that have mm-hmm. that ambition as well. So again, we're looking to serve the whole agent, not just one side or one part of them.
Got it.
Definitely. Well, Debbie, if you don't mind, give our listeners your contact information.
Sure will. The number is area code 843-817-4202. And then my email address is Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E dot Berry, B-E-R-R-Y at North Point, and North Point has an E at the end, .com.
Awesome. Well, Debbie, look, we have quickly went through our time today.
I see that. I just noticed the time.
Yeah. So obviously great conversation. And I thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. And we appreciate you coming on today. For our listeners, guys, look, Debbie is the cat's meow, man. I'm telling you, I've known her for a tremendous amount of time. And I've watched her for all these years focus on serving and delivering on the expectation, which is that you guys will be successful in your endeavor for home ownership. That is what she prides herself on. Sure. I watch it. I see it every day. So y'all, please give her a holler. Y'all check her out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. She is an Exit Strategies Radio Show family member. Yes. In the group. Y'all, please make sure y'all give her a holler. So as I always say to you, our listeners, guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all for listening to what I always endeavor to be a public service. This announcement to you to say, hey, you can do it. You will get it done. Just keep going. Guys, as I always say to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm going to see you guys out there in those streets. Guys, that was a great show today. And we thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Exit Strategies Radio Show. My name is Corwin J. Millette. Yes, that is me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in for today's episode.
Exit Strategies is my baby. It is how I give back to our community. It is how I foster goodwill, spread good news, and trustfully help you get great results. Guys, as I always say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in the streets.